The following is a paid program.
This is attorney advertising. Calling into this radio show does not create an attorney-client relationship.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Estate Law Exposé. I'm Joe Bartlett. We've got Christine Thea Rubenstein, Alex Rubenstein with us as usual this morning, and another very special guest. The house is full this morning, folks. Christine, Alex, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Nice to see you guys again.
Good to see you too, good as to always. You.
And I'm really excited about today's program. It's a fascinating subject, and it's kind of a little off what we normally talk about. But Christine, you and I were talking that this is important, so we're going to spend some time with it.
Yeah, we felt it was very important to get it out to the public, and we have a special guest with us, a good friend, Mitch Berzon. So we feel that it's important to get this out with limitations. It's very important that he speaks to us about what this public announcement is. So we want to take it away. And Joe, maybe you can just give a background of what Mitch's professional credibility is here.
Yeah, I was just looking over the background. Pretty impressive. Mitch Berzon, founding partner of Berzon Strang & Associates in Smithtown, a graduate of Georgetown and the New England School of Law, formerly served as an attorney in the U.S. House of Representatives and a senior federal legal counsel to former Governor Mario M. Cuomo. So you've been around for a while there, Mitch.
A bit. More so than I want to admit.
Yeah. Well, look, Mario Cuomo's got a bridge named after him.
Yes,
I covered Albany when Cuomo was governor, and he was an interesting character, very outspoken.
Yeah,
I remember when he was considering running for president. You remember all that stuff? Were you involved in any?
I was in the midst of that.
You were, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it never happened.
Right.
No, it didn't.
To get too far off the beaten path, do you think he regrets not running?
I think he does, and perhaps other members of the family don't.
I get it. Let's not go there.
Okay.
All right, yeah, fine.
Enough said.
Enough said, yeah.
Probably more than enough said.
All righty, this is a serious subject, and Alex, you want to sort of broach the subject and get us going here? What we're going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about sexual harassment with the archdiocese, with the churches, and what Mitch is going to discuss with us is his involvement in how he's been able to help families and people overcome what they've gone through.
Okay. Christine, you want to start the questioning here? Or?
Okay. Mitch.
we haven't sworn him in.
That's what I feel like right now. I'm a little nervous with our guest speaker after that.
Do you want me to give a background here?
Yeah, sure. Well, please explain.
How did you get involved with this?
How did I get involved with it? It's a personal story. And it goes back to somebody I was very close with in college who unfortunately was a victim of abuse by the clergy. And really didn't come forward until her mid-20s, even though it happened between ages 14 and 17. She confided in me. It was something that I took near and dear to my heart. And up until recently, really never did a whole lot about it in the capacity as an attorney until I started following what was going on in Albany. To make a long story short, there is a Crime Victims Act that had been proposed repeatedly by the Assembly and eventually by Governor Andrew Cuomo. And what it would have done was extend the statute of limitations, which is the biggest problem that so many of these victims have, to age 48. So you'd have until age 48 to assert a claim against the diocese if you were abused in any capacity by a deacon, by a bishop, what have you. New York, oddly enough, you know, people perceive New York as being a progressive state. We are one of the most regressive states when it comes to allowing persons to assert their claims against the clergy.
Well, it's a pretty powerful lobby, I think, in New York State.
You're absolutely right.
Churches are, especially the Catholic Church. I mean, it's.
You're absolutely right. I mean, to put it in perspective, our laws allow someone to bring an action up until age 23.
That's it.
That's it. And the problem with that is that so many people come to terms.
Regardless of when it happened.
Regardless of when it happened.
Wow.
So if you were abused at age 18, or was 18 being the age of majority, but let's say 15, 16, 17, and it took you 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years of therapy to get to the point that you wanted to assert your claims, you would time barred. No exceptions. For example, many states in the Middle Atlantic and in the Midwest have an unlimited statute of limitations if you were the victim of a felony crime involving a sex crime at any time as a minor. States like Minnesota have unlimited statute of limitations. This one would have extended it, like I said, to age 48. Predictably, like Joe said, the Catholic Conference lobbied heavily against it in the New York State Senate. And the Senate Majority Leader, John Flanagan, out of Smithtown, no less, basically stated in June of this past year, it's not happening. It had passed the Assembly, and the governor had endorsed it. In doing research behind the legislation, because I have a bit of a legislative background before I got into the practice of law, I learned some things that I found rather upsetting, like the Boy Scouts of America were lobbying at the rate of $12,500 per month in Albany to keep this bill from ever seeing light of day in the Senate.
Wow.
And you can draw your own conclusions why the Boy Scouts may have a vested interest in not wanting to extend the time period, all right, for people to file their claims. So following the legislation, realizing that Senator Flanagan had deemed it to be dead on arrival, and with the background that I had on a personal level, I said, let me get involved. This past Friday, a woman came to my office who was a victim, claimed to be a victim of sexual abuse by the clergy between the ages of 14 and 17. And when I looked into her eyes, I said, you know what, this is a pain that can't be recompensed by money or anything else, but it would be a horrible thing to tell her you have no recourse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I got actively involved, really, in the last week. I spent most of my entire career since I left government as a plaintiff's lawyer representing victims, whether it was victims of, you know, on-the-job injuries, medical malpractice, personal injuries. I've always fashioned myself, and so has my firm, as kind of a champion of people who are in need of help and people who have been victimized. And I can't think of a better class of people that have been victimized than this class right here.
So, Mitch, what if anything has been done recently that's opened the doors for these people? Has the limitation, has the statute been extended, or is there anything that they should be looking for? Is it still 48?
Well, I'm 48? Sorry. No, it's not 48. It's still 23, and that doesn't help the majority of people. What's unique about what's happening now is my sense is that the church, thinking that the Crime Victims Act that was essentially shot down by the Senate might become law, said, you know what, guys? We'll do it ourselves. No need to pass a law. Let us take care of these victims. So it began in New York County with Cardinal Dolan. He created a program in 2016. That program basically allowed anybody who had filed a claim before December 31st of that year, all right, to continue with that claim, regardless of when the statute expired. It also created a phase two, all right, which allowed people to file claims for the first time. That expired, unfortunately, last year. Following Cardinal Dolan in New York, okay, the Brooklyn Diocese started their own program. Very, very similar, different deadlines.
Now, do you get the sense that the church is going to step up to the plate here, that they're not trying to hide behind the law?
I get the sense that the church, one, was concerned the law might become the law and open the floodgates to everybody over the age of 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the sense that politically this was a very smart thing for the church to do, to basically raise the hand and say, you know what, we acknowledge that there are claims out there. We acknowledge there are claims that are barred. Let us try and recompense these people as best we can. We can't undo the hurt. We can't undo the harm. You know, perhaps we can do something.
So the church is funding this, or is the government helping them?
No, there is no government involvement whatsoever. It's very interesting, by the way. The church in Manhattan, in their press release, said that they were going to refinance St. Patrick's Cathedral to fund this. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. The church in Brooklyn simply said they have unlimited funds to take care of it, and they'll do what they have to do. The Rockville Center Diocese, which is the most recent one, which is what I'm talking about today, this program covers all of Long Island and all of the parishes.
Regardless of which parish? You have to fall within that diocese?
You have to fall within Rockville Center.
Okay.
Which is?
All of Long Island?
All of Long Island.
Okay, then.
They say they have a limitless supply of money to do this.
Wow.
Now, a little bit of this goes back to early 2002, 2003, when the Suffolk County DA did an investigation as to whether or not the Rockville Center Diocese was in fact policing themselves. And they had a grand jury impaneled for months and ultimately determined that the diocese was thoroughly incapable of policing itself.
Well, yeah.
That priests that were suspected of or they could prove internally had abused innocent children, they were simply relocated from parish to parish. They weren't defrocked.
Well, that seemed to be the system.
That seemed to be the system
throughout the church.
But right.
You're just, well, we'll just move that individual and then hopefully he will rehabilitate himself.
Well,
Mitch, could you help me understand how can you help, how are attorneys helping if the churches are providing funds for this? Help our listeners understand and help me understand how would you help people with this?
Well, there are two ways right now. A person could go ahead and submit their claim, and it's a pretty detailed claim form, and you'd have to substantiate your allegations with references to medical records, all right, therapeutic records, names, dates, times, some of which can't be refuted by the church because some of these priests and deacons are no longer around. But what attorneys can do who want to help these people is this. There is a deadline right now, okay, in the diocese, all right.
We're talking about Rockville Center?
Rockville Center, okay. Right. This program began on the 16th. They have to have their people who had made initial complaints prior to the inception of this program have until December 31st to get their complaints in. It's a detailed format, okay? I can't advise people they can't do it without an attorney. I can't advise them it would probably not be wise. These documentations, these supplementations, these records, these references are going to be scrutinized by, you guys may remember this, okay, Kenneth Feinberg and Camille Burros. All right. Ken Feinberg was the gentleman appointed to administrate and oversee the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund.
So he was the ultimate arbiter here. You would
yes.
present your case to Feinberg. He would determine how much of that fund and how much you should be paid.
That's correct, yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's correct, yeah. There have been 200 cases so far settled by the New York Archdiocese and 437 received by Brooklyn. The Rockville Center program is really brand new. It's all of 2.5 weeks old.
Well, those are big numbers. What did you say? So 437 in Brooklyn?
437 complaints received in Brooklyn, 200 settled in New York.
Wow.
All right, and we don't know how many cases are still pending in New York at this point.
We have to take a break right now, but we're going to be right back. We're going to find out how to file claims and just how you go about proving that. But I do want to put out a contact number and information for Mitch Burzon. You can reach him by phone, 631-265-6300, 631-265-6300, and email him directly at mjburzon, B-I-R-Z-O-N, at bsb-lawyers.com. And before we take that break, Alex, why don't you give our listeners the numbers where they can reach you or Christine or your staff?
Of course, as always, you can reach us at 1-800-200-1-LAW. That's 1-800-200-1-LAW. Or you can visit us online at courtboss.com.
You're listening to a special edition of Estate Law Exposé. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Estate Law Exposé. I'm Joe Bartlett along with Christine Thea Rubenstein and Alex Rubenstein. A very important subject today, our special guest Mitch Burzon, and we're talking about clergy abuse and how victims of clergy abuse can now get settlements. There's several opportunities. There's a clock ticking. It's a very complicated issue, and it's an extremely important issue. So I'm glad we're able to shine some light on this. Christine, you want to pick up the questioning here?
Yeah. Like on the break, I was just, and being a lawyer, I was a little bit, I'm confused too, because historically, like we were just recapping right now and saying that the law as it is right now is after 23, you're out of luck if you need to bring a claim, right, Mitch?
That's
but
correct.
This program that we're trying to bring forth, which is why you're my guest speaker our guest speaker today. I always try to push Alex out of the way every once in a while.
You notice that?
But why you're the guest speaker today is to bring forth the importance of that this deadline basically has extended that age limit if you want to give up the rights in the court, which I think we should really, explain to the listeners so they understand you've got a shot right now to kind of resolve or absolve this issue that's happened, and now's the time. So that's, if we can maybe give them a good, or the listeners,
that's a really good point.
Sure.
That's what we need to figure out, because that's the confusing part here, even for me.
No, it's a good point, Chris. The fund was essentially created, okay, due to the incredible amount of outside pressure and the fact that the Diocese of Brooklyn and New York had also begun, okay, similar programs. In their program, if you enroll in their program, mm-hmm. you waive your right to pursue a cause of action in the courts. Now, that may or may not be relevant to you. If you're over the age of 23, you cannot bring an action in the courts, because that is the New York statute of limitations. In a program, in the programs created by the New York, Brooklyn, and now Rockville Center Diocese, there is no age limitation. Now, in exchange for submitting to their jurisdiction, you waive your right to the court system. So, as a practical matter, anybody over the age of 23, this is the only game in town. This program is set up by the diocese. It's a one-time solution for the opportunity for potential victims, and they have a very, very short time to act. And that's one of the things that really has to be brought to attention.
What should someone do now? I mean, if you've felt you've been abused, I mean, you go directly to the church?
I can't say contact me. I would contact an attorney
okay.
with a prior proven track record of representing victims, whether it's victims of sexual abuse, whether it's victims of predators, whether it's victims that involve themselves in even such matters as personal injury or medical malpractice. I hate to say that this is really, you know, good guys versus bad guys, David versus Goliath, but you are up against an institution. So even though my firm does a fair amount of personal injury work, okay, we regard that as we represent individuals against an institution. I feel the same way here,
mm-hmm.
all right, no different, and perhaps certainly more emotional about the underlying facts and circumstances regarding these claims.
Mitch, could you tell our listeners what that deadline is?
Yeah, the time limits right now with Rockville Center is, if you previously filed any sort of claim not related to this program, you have until December 31 to complete their claims process.
That's this year?
Yeah, this year. That time limit's coming up very quickly. Phase two would be for people who had never filed a claim before. They're going to announce a date sometime in January of 2018, a month and a half from now, and give you a deadline to file a claim for the very first time. And it might be 2, 3, 4 months, okay? And this would be the first time they learn of their claim. Now, once you file that claim, either you perfect the claim you've previously started prior to December 31st, and that could be a letter that you sent 5 years ago. That could be an affidavit you sent 5 years ago.
So it doesn't have to be formal.
Right. As long as they have some record of you making a complaint, all right, you have until December 31st, all right, to finalize.
Even if you've aged out.
Right. If you've never contacted the Diocese of Rockville Center, ever, beginning in 2018, in January 2018, there's going to be a second phase of this program that will allow you to file a claim.
We're going to have you back on so you can tell us a little bit more when that
Well, you know
out.
What? It's interesting, but I expect to get a date from the Rockville Center Diocese very shortly as to when that January 18th program will begin and end.
Great. Please
and
let
it
us
may
know.
It may have a 2 or 3 month window. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
In terms of proving a case, how difficult is it?
It's not easy. Ideally, the claimant would have a record of some treatment, having complained to somebody that would come forward with a sworn statement. I think in an ideal situation, you'd have somebody who would have submitted to psychotherapy, mental health counseling, social counseling, dealt with an MSW. But there is a list, and it was actually published a long time ago, of suspected members of the diocese,
mm-hmm.
all right, who have been involved in abuse.
Mitch, do you have counselors that you work with that you could recommend if someone needs help with that type of grievance counseling?
There are counselors that specifically work with trauma victims and PTSD victims, and that's what we're talking about here.
I'm sorry. So, Mitch, going back to what you said, so there's somewhat of a list of clergy that were already named that were involved that if, so for instance, if
not,
you
no, Chris,
have been there?
Not in this matter.
Okay.
There is a national database.
Oh, okay.
of clergy suspected of or clergy that was sued civilly and found to be liable for abuse victimization.
This has so many layers to it.
Right. It really does. You know, it's a pervasive problem that's gone on probably forever. And I can't tell you what the upshot's going to be in terms of the total expenditures right now, but it seems to me that Rockville Center is well-financed to be able to address the number of claims they anticipate coming forward. And a lot of it goes back to that $11 billion I talked about before that they set aside when the Suffolk grand jury was investigating them that they really never paid out. And that money has just grown and grown in passive investments.
You know, I suspect, there's probably people who have just sort of blocked this out of their I don't want to remember this. I want to forget about it, and I've moved on with my life.
Right.
How does that person do anything?
Yeah, cope with that.
They do one of two things. I mean, we can't undo what happened to them. Nobody can. An acknowledgement of payment of money by the diocese, it may be short shrift of what they actually endured.
Right, yeah.
But it's something. The last person I spoke to on the telephone was 2 days ago, and her response was, and she probably was in her late 50s, early 60s, even if it's not going to change my life, all right, it's going to change my grandchildren's life.
Right. Which
I can fund their college this way. Something good can come of this.
Right.
And I think that's probably the most positive way somebody can interpret this program.
I wonder, just because, you know, it's a state law, just from our position, if a deceased person had a claim and it was within that and you have an administrator or an executrix, would that person be able to stand in that person's shoes if they had the proper evidence and bring a claim on behalf of that victim?
That's actually a great question. Nobody's answered it straightforward, but if you look at the terms of the program, the answer would be yes. It would still sustain and prove that they were victims of abuse.
Right.
But yes.
That's a very good question. I would
Thank
not
you,
have
Joe.
Thought.
Thank
no,
you,
no.
Mitch.
I really would not have thought that you would. I would think you'd just be out of luck. No, that person's dead. They have no recourse. But
no.
I'll tell you
something else that I find actually kind of very interesting about this. These are very personal type of claims. I mean, you really want to, as an attorney, you really want to get to know your client very well. I am noticing that there are attorneys, and I'm not bashing these attorneys, but it's just odd to me. There are attorneys advertising for the Rockville Center program from Minnesota, from California. These claims are not ripe for class actions because there's not similar enough commonality, you know, in facts and circumstances. There are attorneys out there that have virtually no litigation and no experience as practicing attorneys that are aggressively going after these cases too. I mean, to the extent that you were to pursue an action, my only advice to you is interview one, two, or three attorneys, get comfortable, but for God's sakes, go with somebody who's got experience.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of settlements, I mean, is there an average settlement?
There has been so far. In the New York diocese claims, the average settlement, according to the diocese, is between $100,000 and
$500,000. Oh, gosh.
Now, Brooklyn released a statistic very recently. They had settled six claims for $1.8 million, so the average would be $300,000.
Wow. Doesn't seem like a lot of money for that kind of thing.
That kind of
you know what? It isn't, and I don't think any amount of money is the right amount of money. But the truth of the matter is, and not to sound Pollyannic, but that kind of money could make a difference in how you address, you know, your family members, your grandchildren, what have you.
That's true. Okay. Well, we're quickly running out of time. This is an extremely important subject. Mitch, I thank you very much for coming in. Christine and Alex, I thank you for dedicating this time. I want to give your contact information, Mitch, in case people would like to get a hold of you. Mitch Berzon is the attorney. He is with Berzon Strong & Associates in Smithtown. His direct telephone number is 631-265-6300. Reach him by email at mjberzon, B-I-R-Z-O-N, at bsb-lawyers.com. And Alex, you guys have been gracious enough to provide your time here to talk about this subject. Why don't we talk a little bit about your services that you provide for our listeners and what we normally talk about here on Sundays?
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and thank you, Mitch, for coming in.
Yes, thank you, Mitch.
My pleasure, guys.
And as always, we're there to serve the community, helping everybody with any of their estate planning needs, financial needs, and any personal injury needs, and Mitch is so gracious to even provide a list of grievance counselors. If you have any questions or cases that you'd like to call in and discuss, we're there for you. You can reach us at 1-800-200-1-LAW. That's 1-800-200-1-LAW, or online, as always, at courtboss.com.
And once again, if you're unable to physically come to the office to see Christine and Alex, they can make special arrangements to visit you at your home, or if you happen to be in the hospital, they can do that too. 800-200-1-LAW, 800-200-1529. And again, these guys are conveniently located all throughout the tri-state area. And don't forget, if you make an appointment, you can get that life plan organizer, make and sit down with them and have a consultation. You get your life plan organizer, which is something that is extremely important in getting all of your affairs together. So once again, thank you, Christine and Alex,
thank you, a very special
broadcast. And Mitch, it was nice to meet you. You're doing good work, and keep it up. And again, I want to give you your contact information, 631-265-6300, 631-265-6300. And again, the email, mjberzon, B-I-R-Z-O-N, at bsb-lawyers.com. A special edition of A State Law Exposé. Joe Bartlett, Christine Thea Rubenstein, we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.